see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. Telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour, your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Wednesday, July 29th, 2026 edition. Joining us on the line right now, attorney and former attorney general candidate Kevin Kievsky is on the line with us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Trucker. How are you?
I'm good. You have been out and about. I've seen your ex posts, little short videos you've been putting up with Perry Johnson. You've been on his bus tour, Save the Ticket. Give us basically a field report. Where you guys been and how's that working out, campaigning with Perry Johnson?
I have to say it is absolutely electric being out there with real people and the grassroots. I mean, even last Tuesday, a week ago, I was over there with him on the west side of the state in Muskegon, and we also did a few other stops. And even yesterday, Tuesday, you know, just yesterday, we did four different campaign stops. We were at a gun range, and it was great. You know, he's firing a 22 and a 9. I'm doing the same thing. We're talking to folks about the Second Amendment and how we need to have constitutional carry. And we also spoke about how John James is basically not the right guy to be Michigan's next governor because he only cares about himself. He doesn't care about the people.
What is the overall response from the people themselves? Are they receptive? Are they questioning Perry? Are they asking good questions? Or basically, have they checked him out already and know everything about him? Where do you feel the people are in the vetting process?
I think that the people are very enthused, and I'll give you an example from Muskegon last week. So I went to talk to the crowd over there, and Perry was able to speak with them as well. And we recorded a short little video that I put on my X just showing the support, overwhelming support that these people have for him. And, you know, even after recording that video, I sort of was working the crowd and two gentlemen walked up to me and I did not expect this. One guy said he's a Democrat and another guy said he's just basically independent. They heard about Perry Johnson and his 4747 plan, giving money back to the people, eliminating property tax, ensuring that there's a moratorium on data centers. And you know what these guys told me? They're like, we normally don't vote or we vote for the other side, but we're voting for Perry. I'm like, that's great. And they're like, we actually already did because we had our absentee ballot. I'm like, that's wonderful. And I also had one guy after Mike Cox dropped out, walk up to me. And this was at a different site. This was not Muskegon. But he said, hey, you know, thanks so much for your video online. I saw it. I was able to spoil my ballot, and I switched it over at the county clerk. I'm sorry, the township clerk that he lives at the counter and switched it over to Perry. So that was good. By the way, your listeners, you can't spoil your ballot anymore. that expired a little bit ago. But if you have not voted for Perry, vote for him on August 4th for sure, this upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah, and I've even had a supplemental story to that. People who have received their absentee ballot, maybe they've marked it already, but not returned it. You right. can take that ballot in, and you can ask the township, city, village clerk for a replacement because you haven't actually mailed, dropped it off, or given it to your township clerk. You can still spoil those, even if you've marked it, but yet not turned it in. So, like you
say,
Kevin,
that's
the only people that can still do that. Well, listen, Kevin, can you stay through the break with us?
Sure.
Okay, very good. We got more to talk about. I want to get into this campaign finance report and public taxpayer funding of John James's campaign. If you have any questions, text them to me. Kevin Kievsky, we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Do you suffer from political insanity disorder, where you keep voting for the same people over and over again and expect a different outcome? The good news is, there's a cure. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress in Michigan's 1st District. It's time to elect someone who cares about people, someone who is from the district. Washington is stagnant. It's time for change. Vote for me, Justin Michael, on August 4th. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement, to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Into the Show. Staying through the break, Kevin Kievsky, candidate for attorney general, out campaigning with Perry Johnson on his bus tour. Kevin, yesterday on the show, I got the MERS news story talking about a complaint that the Perry Johnson campaign filed against John James' campaign regarding campaign finance and taxpayer funding of his campaign. And I wasn't sure if that was talking about previous campaigns or this campaign because of the dates that the report in the story was talking about. Could you clarify basically what's going on and what is this complaint all about regarding John James and potentially violating election laws?
Absolutely. So let me start here because I think a lot of people in Michigan don't know this. And this has been a law on the books since 1976. So if you're running for governor, the state will give you $2 of taxpayer money, your money, for every dollar you raise, up to $990,000 in a primary. But there's a qualification for that. So before you even get a dime of taxpayer money, you have to show $75,000 in what the law calls qualifying contributions. And that's not all. A qualifying contribution is capped at $100 per person per year, and it has to come from a Michigan resident. So if we kind of do the math, you need to have at least 750 individual Michigan residents to hand you at least $100. And what happened with John James, and it's all public, it's all on the campaign finance website through the SOS, he didn't qualify. Yet alone, he not just requested, but he received, according to paperwork, $260,000 of your money. And that's a problem. And the campaign complaint is really about this. It's not that we don't like that he used taxpayer money. I don't think anyone who's a Republican, a red-blooded Republican, would argue with that. We all dislike it. It's more so he didn't qualify. And why? Because the paperwork that he was required to file, it became public, I think, on or about November 10th. So anything before November 10th does not count. So anything after November 10th counts. And guess what? He only raised about like $50,000 in qualifying contributions, which means that he's $25,000 short. So he came up $25,000 short, but he took your money anyway. And Jocelyn Benson signed the check, sent it over to his campaign so John James could talk about how great of a guy he is.
Now, on that point, this complaint and this story that I read, like you mentioned, he came up well short, submitted 3,443 photocopies of checks, not itemizing them all individually on a spreadsheet, but provided her basically with just copies of checks, thousands of these checks. Was this a decoy or was this a mistake? Exactly how did he get away with this, and why did Jocelyn Benson accept this type of documentation?
Well, that's a very good question, because the law explicitly requires the campaign to record and certify the full name and address of every qualifying contributor. And as you said, his campaign filed, I think it was 3,557 pages of photocopied checks. There was no alphabetical list. And guess what? You can't verify a $75,000 threshold from a stack of like Xerox or photocopies. And what happened here is, I don't know if it was the intent of the James campaign to kind of just be lazy, or just see if they could pull a fast one. And I don't know if it was the intent of the Secretary of State to just allow this because they think that John James is the weaker candidate, or to allow this because they're just lazy. I can't speak to their intent, but I just know it doesn't comply with the law, and it doesn't look good either for Jocelyn Benson or John James. And to take the cake as well, I mean, talk about sloppy paperwork. Apart from like taking 3,500 pages of photocopies and slopping it on the SOS, the paperwork that James' campaign completed, that John James verified and signed, says his bank is in quote unquote Bloomfield Heights. And I'm like, that's a new city to me. Where the hell is Bloomfield Heights? You know,
right.
Because I know you used to live in Birmingham. I live in Birmingham. it's right next door to Bloomfield Hills, and we have Bloomfield Township. And I'm like, where is this imaginary city? And right. It's kind of funny because it's like, well, I guess the money that was paid just disappeared to this imaginary city. Just like when it comes to John James, he was supposed to create all those jobs when he was president of his family's company. And right. He took a $2 million tax break, and then all those jobs actually didn't go up. They disappeared.
Well, one of the things that is very concerning, Chris Long, the grassroots vice chair of the Michigan Republican Party, said that he studied this public financing of government elections, campaigns. And he said that after the primary, if he wins and again applies for this public assistance, his campaign, not PACs supporting him and other people that have these PACs, super PACs or whatever, but if he does this, he's limited to just $2 million spending against Jocelyn Benson in November. Is that an accurate story as you know and understand this campaign finance law?
Absolutely. So I'm going to call it a quote-unquote artificial cap because, yes, it is an agreement. I'm not going to raise more than $2 million, but let's be real here. So he is capping at $2 million to get a payout from you, the taxpayer, and then that's fine. He looks like I'm being holier than thou. But what's also happening? PACs and super PACs, they're going to be spending all this money on the ads for John James. Technically, not to be coordinated with the James campaign, so be it. But he's taking your money, and he's having special interest by his ads. And that's not right. And that's why, you know, Perry Johnson, the guy is a billionaire, but he loves Michigan, and he's spending all of his own money to save it. I still remember going to his campaign announcement, which was a few blocks away from where I live. I went there. This is back when I was still campaigning for Attorney General, and I could not describe a more sincere gentleman that wants to save Michigan and wants to do the right thing. And in fact, when I was on the bus with him yesterday, it was just really, and we also had Monica Yutuma on there. We had Vance Patrick. We had Ralph Rebant, all good friends, all good people. But we were really chatting about policy. He is super curious and inquisitive and intelligent about how we fix things. He's not just campaign slogans. He's actually about solutions. And that's what he has done his entire life.
Well, one of the poll stories I covered this morning was Glenn Gariff Group was retained by the Michigan Education Association, the Teachers Union, and Business Leaders of Michigan. I'm not even sure who they are, BLM. But one of the things that, yeah, I thought that was interesting, Black Lives Matter, very poor choice of acronyms. But anyway, it was interesting because they're claiming education. Of course, they were pushing, you know, the people, pulling it anywhere from 90 to 95%, depending on the question asked, and haven't really had an opportunity to get into the weeds with Perry. Have you, while in the bus traveling, have there been policy discussions about where he stands on education in Michigan and what he's going to do to fix it and improve it? Because we're doing so poorly, 46th, 44th, depending on the polls, in the country, when it comes to education of our children here in the state of Michigan. Do you know where Perry stands and what reforms he's looking to make when it comes to educating our kids?
I do. And that's so funny you're asking me. And to your listeners, I didn't talk to Randy about this at all. But on the bus yesterday, we were in Dundee, and then we're going to our next site. And for a good, solid, I'd say 20-ish minutes, we exclusively talked about education. He believes that money needs to follow the child, whether that's a scholarship tax credit, something of that nature. I gave him, you know, when I was campaigning as for Attorney General, ideas in order to do an Attorney General opinion to allow real school choice in Michigan, notwithstanding what we call the quote-unquote Blaine Amendment, which prohibits money from going to religious or sectarian schools. And, you know, he went to Catholic school himself. And he actually loves all different types of schools. He actually sent his own kids to public school, even though he's a billionaire. He just wants kids and families and parents ultimately to have the choice of where to go. And that's why when you take a look at education, it being 44th is awful. I mean, one of the most sincere things he said during that 20 minutes, I mean, all of it was sincere. He's like, Kevin, the one thing I really want to fix, yeah, I want to fix property taxes. I want to make sure we get rid of the income tax, all these other things, is to improve the moral character of our children. And you know how that happens? We make strong families, and we make sure that we make strong schools. And schools is not going to be necessarily a situation where we fix by throwing more money at it, but we give people choice. I am 110% convinced he is going to do that. Whereas John James, on this issue or other issues, he gives two or three word sentences. He's not intellectually curious. I'm not calling him stupid, but like, he just says enough to get by. But if you sit down with him to talk about it, it wouldn't work out. And I'm not going to say the whole, you know, story here, but I remember when I was campaigning for Attorney General, I sat down with him at the swanky Capitol Club where all the members of Congress are at to, you know, go for breakfast or lunch. And we sat there for an hour. I'll just put it this way. It was all about campaign and very little bit about policy, whereas Perry, it's almost all about policy. And I love it because he will be able to fix Michigan.
Well, one of the things that I've been saying is exactly that. If the money followed the children and the parents could shop, they could shop around. If they could basically turn into consumers of education and go and vet and hear these principals or superintendents tell them what they're going to do with their child's dollars, their education dollars, Kevin, competition ultimately is a good thing. And parents would obviously make the best choice. They'd buy the right education with those dollars. I called for a kind of like a bridge card, if you will, that was loaded with money that parents could actually hand to the principal or the superintendent. They could swipe it and pay the tuition for the entire year using this bridge card for education. And I think this is what I'm hearing you say, basically Perry's idea.
It is. And what I'll say very quickly about that is there are a whole bunch of different policy solutions, and he's not going to just wait for like one big thing to happen, maybe like 4 years into his term. He's going to make some very significant changes. I don't want to speak for the candidate, but he's going to make some very significant changes in the first 90 days of his administration. And he is committed to doing that because our children, we don't need them growing up and leaving Michigan. I mean, even on the campaign trail, he was very accurate with this. We have 13 congressional districts now, right? Before, he's like, oh, I remember when we had 19. Well, right. Why do we lose all this representation? Because people are not staying here. People are moving out. And people are deciding to go to other states. And we got to be competitive to become, you know, one of the best states here in the entire union.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the website, perryjohnson.com, I challenge you guys to go there and look for a donate button because it doesn't exist. The only guy funding his campaign. Kevin, we appreciate your time. We'll let you get back out there with Perry. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Make Michigan red again. Thanks.
On the hour news break of hour number two, short break. We'll be right back.